Good evening, or later than evening. This is Laura Berman Forking. This is our spring Now What community call. I do these calls about once a quarter to make myself and the Now What coaching methodology available to anyone who wants to chime in. It kind of works like a call-in radio show in the sense that you're going to ask a question or, you know, get coached live. There's not much content in terms of teaching because it's really intended to be a support call, a community call where people who are working with Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, or not reading the book yet but want to figure out what's going on with their career transition can call in. It's really important to me for people to have access to this at many different price points, and this is your free price point. Everything that I do is based on 25 years of coaching experience. I'm one of the founding members of the International Coach Federation and one of the early board members, as well as one of the first students to go through Coach University. I was number 16. And I have 5 books out there, but the most attention lately has been on my TEDx talk, which came out of the book, Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction. And that is a 12-week program to help people figure out what they want to do with their lives. It's helped thousands of people. We've recently launched a home study version of it, which is another accessibility point for this material. And I have a special code for you tonight to get $100 off of that, only for those that were on this call and that were listening and listen to this audio by next week, Wednesday the 21st of March. So anyway, welcome, and let's see if we have anybody who's ready to ask their first question. And if anyone's feeling really shy and doesn't feel like talking live, you can send me a question at LBF, Laura, B like boy, F like Frank, at intercoach.com. And I won't make you speak up on the call if you don't want to, but I can answer your question in a more general matter if you email it to me. So anyone on the call who would like to ask a question? Just tell me your name and where you're from. This becomes a very short evening if no one asks any questions. Anybody? I know there are people on the call. Okay, checking the email to see if anybody called in. Yes, I heard someone take a breath. Hi.
My name is Allison, and I'm from New York.
Hi, Allison from New York.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Yes. Feeling shy.
Okay, it's okay.
I haven't really taken any concrete steps, and just in the throes of trying to think about what is next for me.
Are you currently employed?
Yeah.
And how long has this been nagging at you?
Quite a long time, if I'm honest about it.
Yes, we want honest. Honest is what works. The truth will set you free. And do you have inklings about what else you might want to do, but they seem kind of like far-fetched, so you kind of don't do anything about them, or you really, really have no idea?
I think I fall into the I really have no idea because I've always worked, since I was a kid, and I've never really thought about what I wanted to do. I just knew that I had to stay employed, so...
So were you kind of in survival mode?
But, yeah, always. And I still need to stay employed, obviously, but, I need to work for another 15 or 20 years, so trying to think about, if my current job doesn't pan out or whatever, I want to start thinking about what would be next, what could take me into my next phase of life. And maybe figure out what I do want to do. I did one of those online sort of personality tests that somebody had recommended to me, and it came back with some information, and I thought, no real surprises there. But I didn't feel as though I really had anything to go on in terms of how do I start working on using that, or just working on what do I want to do, or what can
I
do?
Did you take StrengthsFinder?
No. 16 personalities?
Oh, okay. I don't know that one. So did it? Does it come with a suggestion of careers, or just it just tells you your personality type?
I'm looking for it right now. I mean, it came back with personality type.
Mhm. Have you? Do you have now what in your possession? Have you read this book?
I don't. I mean, I haven't read the book.
Okay.
But
I highly recommend it.
For a while.
We must have seen each other somewhere then for you to get on my list, or did you find me and you put yourself on my list?
I actually met you on the subway a long time ago.
Oh my gosh, that could be a really long time ago if it was when I lived there.
Yes, it was a very random encounter, and we just
cool.
were chatting on the subway. So at any rate,
that had to be a long time ago, because I've not lived in the city a long time. Well, that's awesome. Okay, so how deep do you want to go here on the phone? Like, can I ask you what you do now?
Sure. I work in the marketing department for a retailer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked in marketing operations for a while. My background is around finance and marketing operations. I got a master's in corporate finance, and you know, realized that was not really what I wanted to do.
Right.
But I was in the marketing department at the time, and I thought, well, you know, this is cool. And in terms of operations, it's something that I do well at.
Right. It's a nice muscle you've built, and you're good at it. Now, did you? And I'm asking because sometimes people really, really have no clue. I have to ask this question. Since you had to go into survival mode, like, you know, straight away in your young adult life, did you grow up in a tough environment?
I'd say tough from a financial perspective, but, you know.
Well, also, like, from an emotional perspective, like, if it was, you know, a place where little kids had to be afraid.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I ask because I say this in my TEDx talk. I know there's some people that are on this call because it's a TED talk, and in my TED talk I had 12 minutes and I focused on one part of it, and then when I said to people, if you have no idea what you want to do, it could be because you grew up in a very tumultuous household, and that's a whole other thing to deal with at another time. And I can't tell you how many emails I get, like, what is that thing that I have to deal with at another time? So you know, like, it's a 12-minute TED Talk. I couldn't talk about it. But I bring it up because one of the big reasons that I've observed over the years and observing many, many people is that if you really have never had any desire, or, like, there's no dream that you ever had, or, you know, you can't even, like, imagine what else you would do, sometimes it stems from, like, not having the safety that's required as a young person to dream.
Hmm.
And, you know, do you have any memory of ever having something you dreamed of being when you grew up as infantile as it might be?
Oh, sure.
Oh, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Like what?
A dancer.
Like what? Okay.
A singer.
Good. What else? Okay. So performing?
Yeah. But that's not something I you know.
Yeah, we're not sending you off to do that right now. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Right. So did you attempt that at any point?
Oh, my parents were musicians, you know, I sang, I took dance lessons, but it wasn't something I was really comfortable with in the sense of being the center of attention. That was
But what did it give you, you know, when you got to do it and when you dreamed of doing it, what did it fulfill in you?
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Fun?
Mm-hmm.
Was there freedom?
Freedom when I did well, and not so freeing if I messed up on something. I'm so excited.
Ah, okay. Okay. Right, so a lot of times, do you do any kind of dancing or singing now, even just, you know, minorly hobby?
Oh, I sing around the house, but that's about it.
Okay. So, this might sound odd, but for anyone who's listening and for you, one of the ways that has been helpful to people to kind of start feeling again some kind of nudges about what else you might like to do with your life is to go back to an old hobby that you gave up. So if you can afford to, like, treat yourself to a voice lesson a month or take a Zumba class or, you know, sign up for ballroom or, you know, go back to tap or whatever, just as a gift to yourself, just as something joyous for you, it's just a very strange phenomenon, but we've seen it really help people, like, it's almost like it oxygenates you and you start being more creative and thinking, okay, well, you know, I might do, you know, I'm not saying you're going to go back and do dance or singing or performing as a way to make a living, but, and it doesn't matter what the hobby is, it doesn't mean you're going to, I'm not saying it reignites the desire to do that thing, it reignites the ability to dream.
Okay.
And to vision and to want and to imagine. And because, oddly enough, like the Now What program, we don't ever ask people for their resume. We don't want to see your resume. People are like, well, you should know about me before I consider working with you. I'm like, no, I don't want to know about you. Because anyone's resume is just the chronological business case for why your next step should be the logical, chronological next business step. You know what I mean? When people are really trying to find, you know, what it might be for them, we look at their life story, and I look for patterns. I look for pieces that are forgotten. I look for where the blocks are to you being, you know, out of the logical left brain and into who am I as a person. And one of the ways to shake off the cobwebs is that, to go back to a forgotten hobby.
Wow.
You know, because we're not really working together right now, I would just say, you know,
right.
For some reason, these are the two things that occur to me listening to you instead of asking, what have you thought about doing? What did you used to like? Da, 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 da. You know, you have, you know, some good hard skills that could parlay into something else, but the middle step is to, like, recover you.
Right.
You know, it causes so much anxiety when you think about, like you even said, I've been thinking about this for years, I've done nothing. And you're hard on yourself. So do you beat yourself up about never having done nothing about it?
Of course I do.
Exactly. Exactly. So to have you be like, I'm giving myself, Laura said I could give myself a gift and I'm going to have a hobby for a while. I'm going to see what that does to me. It'll really help because a lot of people also come to the career transition conversation with a lot of stress. You know, maybe you don't have a job and you have to find one quick, or maybe, you know, you've been suffering a long time at something, and there's so much stress to figure it out, and it's the number one killer of creativity and finding answers. So whatever we can do to, you know, reduce that stress, I call it white knuckling, getting people off the ledge, you know, holding on so tight to something they don't even like, it helps tremendously. So would you be willing to do that as a first step and trust me?
Yeah, I would. I would.
All right. Well, good. I mean, you're in the city where all those kind of things are at your fingertips. And pick up Now What? Just, you know, read a chapter a night and see what hits you over the head.
Okay. I
awesome.
Will. Thank you.
Thank you for speaking up.
Yeah, that was a little nerve-wracking.
I know. But we don't have any pictures up. That's why I don't do this on a video conference. You know, because certainly over the years, people are like, you know, teleconference calls are so passe. You need to do video. And I do, but then no one wants to talk. And no one wants to be on
right.
video. So I like to do it this way. That's why I call it like my radio call-in hour, you know. Thanks for calling, Allison. All right. All right. Well, stay on the call. Let's see. There may be time to come back around to you and see what you learned. Thank you.
Okay.
I really appreciate you jumping in. Good. Anybody else is on the call? Where are you from? Great reward with being brave.
If I can do it, you can do it too.
See? Exactly. Oh, I heard a little unmute maybe. Yes, you unmute yourself by pressing *6 in case there's anyone trying to get my attention and you don't know why I can't hear you.
Hi, my name is... Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. I can.
Hi.
Tell me your name again.
Julian, I'm calling from New York City.
Hi, Julian from New York City.
So I have not read the book. I did buy it, but I haven't started it yet. I listened to a TED Talk on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the process of, well, I lost my major source of employment because the company closed. I'm not in panic. I have some savings that I'm living on right now. And I did take a step in a direction that I've always been interested in and never have done anything with, which is plants. So I'm taking a plant science course.
Mm-hmm.
But again, these feelings come up, which are a pattern of beliefs I have that if I have fun doing something, it can't make money.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as I'm starting to do something which I enjoy, I lose the fun. So there's and that's been a lifelong pattern. I've done all kinds of things in the performing arts, the visual arts, and then you know how it is in New York City. You live, make, pay your bills, catering and cooking and that kind of thing.
Right. I've done that. All right, so let's talk about this guilt. What is your family background like?
It was working class / white collar and always hardworking. My parents were always very hardworking.
Right.
So,
were they immigrants or were their parents immigrants?
I grew up in a different country, in Europe, so they were actually, well, my mother was originally from there, but my father was an immigrant. That's interesting that you say guilt, because I wouldn't want to talk about guilt.
Well, I actually call it, like, whether with one generation or two generations past, people who move to another country from their country of origin, there's still a work ethic that I call the immigrant work ethic. Do you know what I mean? That you, like my, I said it in the TED Talk, right? The beginning, my grandfather.
Right.
You know, like, if my grandfather knew that I helped people be happy at work, he'd be completely confused. What do you mean happy? You know, like happy was he got off a boat and he had a way to make money and feed people. That was happy. Right? So it does, and my dad had the corporate job and he hated that, but that was happy. So when we have hardworking parents that their standard of what happy was is different than ours, it causes guilt to be like, you know, we have to have that, we feel that we have to have that punishing work ethic or else we are doing something wrong.
Yeah, and it's also the ethic or belief. You have to work hard to make money. If you don't work hard, you're not making money.
Exactly.
That's kind of what's happening with me. And my mother did actually career change later in life. She was about 37. She changed from an office job to something she felt she wanted to do, was becoming a teacher. So I do have that example.
Wow. Okay, great. Right. So, you know, what do you need to do to give yourself a break? Not be harsh with yourself. It's a theme of the night. Keep being harsh with ourselves.
Yeah, the whole issue around if it's fun, you can't make money. And I think you briefly addressed that in your TED Talk. you can't make a living off it.
Yeah, right. So it really is like an operating system. You know, like if someone uses a PC or someone uses a Mac, right? It's a different operating system. And so you're struggling with that operating system that says, if it's not hard, I'm not earning it. If it's not hard, I'm not going to make money at it. And it really is a shift in your belief system to say that, you know, when people say they never know the difference between work and play because they're having so much fun working. You know, so that's a belief system. You have to believe that that's okay, that that's acceptable, and that that can be fruitful financially. And so, you know, often in coaching, it's not just about what you do and changing your strategy and what are the steps, but a lot of the time it's just about making an a intrinsic change in your being. You know, like I was speaking yesterday somewhere and I said, you know, we all know how to lose weight, right?
Yeah.
You eat less and you exercise more, right? We all know that. So why do we have a $4 billion industry around weight loss in this country? We all know how to lose weight.
Most of it is about feelings.
It's about feelings. It's about, you know, motivation. It's the emotional part, right? So I was telling my class when I was speaking yesterday that I went from saying, you know, don't eat sugar, don't eat gluten, don't eat wheat, don't do this, don't do that, to saying, you know what, let me shift the who, not the what. I want to be someone who can keep their promise to themselves every day. So you see how that's a completely different strategy?
Yes.
Right, I didn't mention food at all. I mentioned who I want to be around the issue of food. So I'm asking you, who do you want to be around the issue of work? A punisher?
I hardly dare say it, but I would love to enjoy doing what I do for a living and be excited to get up in the morning to do it.
Well, I wholeheartedly believe that that's possible because I've seen it. And so it gets down to permission. Who needs to give you permission? Do I need to? I give you permission. Can you give yourself permission?
Interesting question.
Indeed.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the work. That's the work.
That hit home.
Yeah, that's the work. And this call, you'll get a recording of it if you forget what we've talked about. So that's the work. Can you give yourself permission? You know, can you be at your botany class or your whatever it might be called, and you're like, this is my life. This makes me feel alive. I'm going to find a way to do this. You know, I've had clients who've become, what is it called? You know, into landscape design. And not like, you know, the guy who comes and cuts your grass. I mean, there's like, you have to get trained to do this. And, you know, or whether you get into the science of plants more intensely in terms of research or, you know, the future of farming, because farming is moving indoors. And, you know, there's so many things.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm right now.
I'm aware of the vastness of the field of anything to do with horticulture. I don't know that many tracks or aspects yet, but I'm already sensing, although I'm doing well, it was a huge challenge getting back into a science class after 40 years almost.
I'm sure.
I'm already sensing that I'm losing momentum, or I'm getting a little bit of that blah feeling, because whatever this old stuff is, it's creeping up that I'm losing the fun. And that's where I'm thinking I need a little help. But this helped.
Good, I'm glad. So really think about that permission thing. And the other thing is, you know, how do you not turn this into work? You know, everything becomes work. You know, you can go ask my family. When I put a 9 p.m. call in my schedule, I dread it, because I love to settle into my night, and I get nervous that I'm going to forget about the 9 o'clock, and why do I do this? And then I get on the call, and I always have a great time. I always get off the phone and say to my husband, "Oh, I'm so glad I did that." So right, so even something we love can feel like a job.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you know, you keep feeling that passion, you know, no less than 48 hours from the last time, then you're still on the right track.
Right.
So it really gets down to, how do you not let it become work? You know, do you get too serious? Do you worry about the future? You know, I know for me, if you watch my career over 25 years, every 3 years I do something new. Like, it's the same career, but I either wrote up a new book, or I came up with a new program, or I redid my website, or, you know, for a couple of years I had a character that I created that was a life coach but it was my, went back to acting, and it was a character. So I would like coach, I would coach people through the character. So I've always found a way to keep it fun.
Mm-hmm.
So that, that, you know, so just because something gets hard or dull, if there's still that passion through line, there's still some sense of purpose for you about it, that's how you know to still keep it, but that you may need to reinvent around it. Right? So if we look at the plants for you, I know you did it because you had time and you treated yourself, and, you know, I'm not, I don't, we don't know if it's a career yet, but when you work that way, when you work with nature, growing things, what do you, A, what do you get out of it? What does it do for you?
Well, first of all, being in nature just, you know, feeds and balances me.
Wonderful. So it feels good to you, and it's a wonderful place
yeah.
to be. Now, what does it provide for others? Like, by you immersing yourself in that way, what's the ripple effect? Whether it
Yeah, it's just because I think that nature is very important for everyone, but especially in the city, most people are not aware
mm-hmm.
of it, how important. And also, I mean, now I'm even learning that, you know, we plants could live without us, but we couldn't live without plants.
Right. So really, for you, I mean, it's just so, it's highly meaningful and highly important to the wellness of people and the planet, it sounds like. You see it
yeah.
that way. Right. So therein lies a sense of purpose, you see, bigger than you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when we can make our work about something bigger than us, you know, even if you don't reach your goal that day, you can stay motivated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I do what I do, it's because ultimately what jazzes me, what I see as possible is that everyone has coaching skills. Not that everyone's a professional coach, but that everyone has the insight that can come out of coaching, and they use it on the people around them, and they create better workplaces, and they're better parents, and they're, you know, more creative in everything that they do. So there's a ripple effect, and the ripple effect is what jazzes me and keeps me going. It's not like, oh, today I got to write my newsletter. That doesn't keep me going. Right?
Mm-hmm. So not the mundane details. Don't get caught up on the mundane details.
Right.
Evaluate the
right.
purpose. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's a combination. Like, there's some selfishness to it, and there's some altruism to it, you know? So, like, you feel great being in nature. But what's bigger than you is you want everyone to have that. Or let's say, you know, for you it does evolve into the food arena, you know? Like, you want to feed the planet and keep people healthy, you know, where farmers aren't doing well, but we've been learning that we can move food creation in other ways. You know, whatever your passion may end up being, I just had a conversation with a father brought me his young son who's interested in acting, and the father's like, my family is engineers and doctors. We don't know anything about these actor people. And I the kid's only in 10th grade, and I said, look, it's great if you want to be an actor, and I know it feels good to be an actor, and it's wonderful to be on stage, and you get to be yourself, but if you don't have a bigger purpose for doing this other than you like to be on stage, you're going to suffer when you don't get to be on stage. So at any age, at any point in our life, if there's a bigger game going on, we have higher engagement within ourselves, and we get over ourselves more. You know, like, who am I to be too lazy to do a call tonight? You know what I mean? We gotta do something. It's bigger than me.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to think about those two things from tonight, permission and this interest that I have. Is it just, you know, is it just a wonderful hobby that makes me feel good, or is there something bigger here that really could propel me to be motivated to take it in a direction that will be my work and my purpose?
Yeah. And I have another question. You mentioned something about, and I can't say it verbatim, but something about... It's not about what you do, but who you get to be when you do it, something. What's that?
Yes.
Correct the quote?
Yeah. So the motto is, it's not what we do for a living that gives us, we don't get career satisfaction from what we do. We get career satisfaction from who our job allows us to be.
Yeah, that's
right?
Really
Right, and that's exactly what we were just talking about. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not the humdrum, it's not the job, it's not being a lawyer that's going to necessarily make you happy. It's that being a lawyer allows, well, whatever kind of lawyer you end up being, right? People can be all kinds of lawyers, good or bad. But, like, if being a lawyer allows you to look in the mirror every day and be proud that you, you know, are fighting for something that's important to you or that you help people, then that is a match. If you train to be a lawyer and you can't, you know, the politics is killing you and you hate being in a law firm and you're not getting to do what you really want to do and it's not what you ever thought it was going to be and you can't find another way to express what you thought law would be, then that's not a match, right? Because it's killing your who. It's killing you.
Mm-hmm.
For the title, the job, the money. So that's what I meant by that. So career satisfaction doesn't come from the job. It comes from who the job allows us to be. Do we get to be who we want to be? Do we get to express ourselves? Do we get to... most people want to have meaning in their life and know that what they do makes a difference. That, you know, if we don't have mastery or purpose in what we do, we're unhappy.
Yeah.
All right, so you should definitely listen to this recording because you just got three humongous hits over the head and you might need to process them.
Well, thanks very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Great questions. And good for you. And give yourself permission. I give you permission, but you need to give yourself permission. All right. Good. Do we have any other questions tonight? Don't be shy. All right, well, I'll ask again in a moment. But let me tell you guys about my home study kit. You know, I am married to someone who can make television commercials and television shows, and, you know, so we've got a video camera, we have a studio, and the old saying that the cobbler's kid wears no shoes is very true, because I've been wanting to do my home study kit. 2015, the book came out, as a new edition. 2015, the TEDx talk came out. And for 2 years, I was bugging my husband that we had to do my videos, so I had the home study kit. Because the old home study kit was all CDs, you put it in your car, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, everyone wants video now. So finally, we got it done. So I have a brand new home study kit. It's a video for every chapter in the book. So I talk to you. We hang out together. You have an electronic book, an electronic workbook. And it's a $499 product versus coaching, which is a few times that. And, for people who are hearing this call tonight live or on audio, you have until March 21st. I have a $100 off coupon for you. So instead of being $499, it'll be $399. And, you know, I just bought myself a $500 program from someone else and thought, it's less than an hour of his time. Totally worth it to me, because if I had hired him, it'd be a lot more. So I created a $100 off coupon for you guys, and take this down. It's nowwhatcoaching.com. So, you know, www, blah, blah, blah. nowwhatcoaching.com/home-study/. nowwhatcoaching.com/home-study/. And take $100 off till 3/21/18. And like I said at the beginning of this call, I do all these different ways so that people have access to Now What 90 Days to New Life Direction, which came out of working with clients after 9/11 when my entire business almost, I thought, was going to go down the tubes. And 4 days after 9/11, my phone rang off the hook from people saying, life is too short, anything can happen, I have to take the back burner dream and put it on the front burner. And I told you I'd do something new every 3 years, but I did not give up on this, because this is sort of became my theme song. And I love nothing more than helping people figure out the mystery of how to get in touch with what they really want to do or what they're really meant to do. And, you know, and very realistically, I mean, so, like you heard me say to our first caller from New York, like sometimes people white-knuckle it, you know, they have to do that linear logical thing. It doesn't make sense to do something more enjoyable. You know, I've got to keep the mortgage, I've got to pay for college, all that. And I have worked with many people like that. In fact, today I had the best call with somebody who finally came to the call happy. It's called 7 of 9, right? We're almost done with the program. And every call he'd come on like, I know I'm supposed to be relaxing and not having stress and figuring this out and doing this with you, but, you know, I just don't know. And I'm like, look, if you judge this process while we do it, it will not work for you. But I finally got him off the cliff, off the ledge, and he is an ex-IT person. He, you know, kind of looks for a job, kind of gets offers and really doesn't want them, but keeps thinking, I have to make this amount of money or else I can't, you know, do this. I can't do all this dreaming with you, Laura. This isn't good, blah, 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 blah. So finally he's had a breakthrough. Finally he realized, he's so relieved to realize that he really does not want to go back to his old job. He looked at his money scenario again. He is fine. He does not really have to go back to that same level of income. And he used to be a musician, and he knows he's not going to, you know, become the next Bruce Springsteen. But just in the course of our working together, we had some really creative ideas about how music could show up in his life in a different way. And I hesitate to say more on the call and put it on recording because I actually didn't ask him permission to share this, so I'm not going to tell you more. But to hear him today happy, excited, things are happening. And I always tell the coaches that I train to do this program, which, by the way, I do that once a year in October if there are any coaches listening. We do an elite class once a year in October. I always tell the coaches when I'm training them that what we look for in success for the Now What program is if synchronicity and good luck starts to happen, like just some traction starts to happen, right? So if you keep, and for all of you listening, if you just keep second-guessing yourself and you don't take action and you don't, you know, put a toe in the water and you don't start something, it can never gain traction. And another one of the mottos in the program is, you know, you don't have to decide what's right for you. Life will tell you what's right for you. And one of the signs that something isn't right for you is that you're miserable. And another sign that things are right for you is when things just sort of happen in a very lucky, easygoing way. And you're like, how could this be so easy? That call came from out of the blue, or, you know, that gig came out of the blue and I wasn't expecting that. That's what I expect to see when you start hitting on what I call your life blueprint. Your life blueprint, to me, is what's in your DNA. And, you know, we're not trained to recognize that. We're trained to, you know, get good grades, go to the right college and get a job, and I think that promise is outdated. I think in this country we do high school guidance very wrong, and that's one of the things I'm working on to change that. But I think that we don't help people realize that all these jobs don't hold the promise that once held for past generations. And I would like to stop getting midlife people wanting to change and have, and they don't need to because they actually learned how to figure it out in high school, and they can figure it out over and over and over again in their life. But we don't do that yet in our culture. So that's why I wrote Now What, and I know it sounds like I'm wrapping up, but I'll open up the call one more time and see if anyone has anything they want to say or ask. Anyone else? All right. So I'm going to thank our two people who did ask tonight, both. Really fun to talk to you and answer your questions and share some insights.
Hello, Laura.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Kayanne from New York.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. We have all our New York people tonight. This is fun. Had someone sign up from Singapore. They'll probably listen later.
So, there's a few things. I'm a pretty adaptable person because of how I grew up. I was had a kind of strict father, not too strict, but I grew up with that whole you work hard, you get recognized for it, and you just continue working hard, and you know you're at your job, you're respectful. I mean, I went through that whole gamut, and I realized throughout my career that has changed, like the work culture has changed. And there's no recognition for the hard work that you do. It's really, especially where I work, it's changed in terms of like, well, if you're a good fit personality-wise, then you can move up the chain. Or if, like, you're doing a certain type of work that is more high-profile, then you get the promotions and the bonuses and... But the hard work and the accuracy is not so important anymore.
Okay. And so what's your question?
So I guess my question is, one of the things is that I've been fighting with, like, year after year, is I'm very passionate about being artistic. I have a creative background, but I kind of went away from that because I was, like, burned out from it. I went to high school for it. I did some college and ended up dropping out. And then I took care of my family for a while, and then I went back into the workplace. And now I'm in a totally different arena where I'm doing a lot of analytical work, which I actually really enjoy doing. But when I think about my passion, I'm thinking about, like, I want to do something that's in the realm of, like, arts design and creating one-of-a-kind things. But like your previous caller, I find myself, I guess, not really giving myself permission for that. And I want to do it, but it's almost like I also grew up with, you know, you do something, not necessarily, you need to do something that you're good at, but it has to be something that is going to make money. And it's usually not something that I'm passionate about, it's just something that is acceptable and will work.
Okay. So I want you to really crystallize this to me and ask me a question. Laura?
Okay, so I guess my question is, why do I keep, well, not that you know the answer to this, but I don't know which way to go. I don't know if I should just drop my analytical side of what I'm doing now to do something that I've been passionate about for year after year after year after year, and I don't know why I keep putting that off and just keep going in the direction that I'm going in right now, which is going through something that I'm interested in and I know I'm good at, which is the analytical side of me, but that's not really where I want to be. But I keep telling myself, oh, you're not ready yet. When you retire, you do it. And I keep pushing it off. So it's like I feel like I deserve it, but then I feel like, okay, well, it's something that
okay, so let me ask you this. Ready for what?
I'm sorry?
What makes you not ready?
Then I find a lot of excuses not to do it. Like, you know, I can't do it yet because I have to pay my debt, or I can't do it yet because, you know, I don't have all the resources yet, and I have to take time to do that. And but, you know, my work right now is like, everything is right there, and I could just do it. So I don't give the time for it because, oh, I'm tired, or I have to work on something else, or I have to do this. So I keep pushing everything off.
Well, it's called priorities, you know, because we make time for what we really want to make time for.
That's true.
So what would make it a priority?
I guess just doing it and setting aside time for it. I always feel like
mm-hmm.
it's,
mm-hmm.
no?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
Help. What would make it a priority?
I don't know. I don't think I think that way. I think I've just been conditioned to think priority is just doing what you're good at and doing what's working and doing what you do now. So it's hard for me to get past that. So when you ask me that question, I really sincerely draw a blank.
Mm-hmm. Well, it really, sometimes it gets down to what do you really want? You don't want it bad enough or else you'd be doing it.
Kind of true. You know why
So what makes it a should? Why is it you should do it?
I should do it because I feel like it definitely will make me happy.
Okay. Well, does it have to be a career or can it be a hobby?
I feel like I'm passionate about it where I want it to be a hobby, and I do feel like I can make money off of it and live off of it.
But you keep saying it has to be in the future, so you don't believe that you could make money off of it. You're like, when I retire, when my debt's paid off, so you don't believe you can make money on it.
I kind of feel like I do, but I kind of grew up with not getting what I really wanted, so I guess I kind of feel like, well, if it's something I really want, well, I'm not really going to get it, so I might as well go with what I think is more
so what you think
reasonable.
What you think you can get, right.
Yes, exactly.
So, but another thing is, and a lot of people do this, you're making it an all-or-nothing proposition. Exactly. Yeah. So that equals failure. Right? It's like I have to do it and make money at it and make a living at it, or I'm not going to do it at all. So if it weren't an all or nothing proposition, what is a bite-sized first step that you could include in your life?
Well, I could definitely work on mini projects.
There we go. So now how can you make a mini project a priority? Make sure it gets done. How would you do that? How would you fit it in?
Well, I guess I would approach it kind of like how I approach work now, which is I would make it a project for myself because that's kind of how I think. And I process things that way. And I can collect all the materials, like just think about what I want to do and then collect the materials that I need to and just kind of go about it how I strategically would go about a project.
Mm-hmm.
And then say that I guess in a sense it's like priority, so I need to get it done just as, like, to be held accountable for it.
Good. So when can you start including it?
I can start tomorrow. I can definitely start tomorrow.
Okay, so tell us here publicly what's going to happen tomorrow so that we believe you.
Actually, tomorrow I'm actually going to take some serious time to think about a project that I want to work on, that actually I do have some materials here that I can start.
Awesome.
And work with what I have here. It's so funny because, like, it's almost like talking to you. It's almost getting, like, not so much the permission, but I don't know, the okay.
No, that's not what broke through for you. That you it wasn't permission. It went from an all or nothing to an immediately available.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it did.
And if anyone who's listening right now, can you hear? There's an energy shift in you too. You can hear it in your voice.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Is it less hectic? I don't know.
It's lighter and more playful and not so worried and not so in your head.
Oh. Actually, I'm starting to feel that.
Yeah, I can hear it. Oh, and also, like, I probably recognize this in you because I can relate to it myself. But your brain wants to put you in a loop. I'm like, and if I do this, that's going to happen. And I can't.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do that. And I see this, and I see that, and I see it from the other side, and I see it from this side, and I see it from the other side, and you do nothing. So,
that's exactly what happens to me.
Yeah. So to stop that, you just have to go, small thing. What's the small thing? It's not big. It's what's the small thing, and what will bring me joy right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I recently took up crocheting, and my family was like, what the heck? But you know, I was spending way too much time taking care of my mother, and she needed to be at doctor's appointments and hospitals, and I'm like, I need to do something. So I taught myself how to crochet online. And I spent from the summer to the winter till the holiday time, and somewhere about October, I was like, hey, I'm going to make everyone gifts. You know, so I made everyone gifts for the holidays. I didn't even care if they thought they were ugly. I made them because they made me happy. And now I'm into more sophisticated projects. And I watch myself with this because it's just joyful and fun. Like, there's nothing attached to it. You know, and then there's some people trying to say, like, oh, my God, you can start making money at this. And I'm like, no. Like, I don't have any desire to make money at it, you know, because I couldn't possibly charge enough to make it worthwhile. So don't take my joy from me, you know. It's my joy just to do it. So what I'm saying, though, is, like, you know, whether someone projects it onto you or you make up this big thing, it's like, you know, I can't just do the thing. It has to be a business, and it has to replace my income. It's like, don't go there yet. Just see what happens.
Do it because you love it.
And, you know, like right now I have more pieces than I can give away. So maybe I will have a little, you know, my cousin is an artist with a shop, and maybe I'll just give them to her and see if she can sell them. Do you know what I mean? But it doesn't have to be a plan. It can be the joy created in abundance, and the abundance is like people start looking at it, and someone might say, you know, oh my gosh, I really love your work. You know what I mean? You don't know where it's going to go. So
right.
don't replace anything right now. Just see.
Okay.
Just get it in your life.
Yeah, because I'm beginning to see this more clearly as you're describing all this, as I've been putting, like, so much pressure on myself
Exactly.
To like to do it all or nothing. If I don't do it all and stop everything that I'm doing and just concentrate on it, then I didn't really want it, and I won't be ever good at it, and I'm just going to fail, and I'm not dedicated to it. And I think that's part of it. It's that if you're dedicated to it, then you do it 100%. And
that's right. But let it come. You know, let it come. And enjoy it.
Okay.
You have the blessing of work, right? So
yes.
You build your art and then see if it needs to become your life. You know, like this cousin that I was talking about who has a craft that she does all over the country now, and she's very successfully, but she was a teacher. And she used to have her work, and, you know, she didn't sell enough work to replace her teaching, but there became a point where, you know, teaching got in the way of the artwork being able to be full-time, and she took the leap. You know, so you're not there yet. You might take a leap at another time, but for now, you know, don't delay to retirement. You could die before retirement. Get the joy, and then see if the joy turns into something bigger.
Okay.
All right, let's leave it at that tonight, everyone, because we are at almost the top of the hour. But thank you all for my New York callers tonight. And, again, I really appreciate you being here. This is, like I said, great fun for me. And don't forget, if you do want to invest in the home study kit or call and talk about coaching, we've got me, we've got coaches who I've trained. Again, I'm all about different price points, different access points for people, but you get $100 off of the home study for the next week. So you'll get it for $399 if you use the coupon, which I didn't give you guys the coupon code. Oh, my God, anyone who was listening tonight and didn't stay on this long, you didn't get the coupon code. It's community. So go to nowwhatcoaching.com/home-study/whatever, and use the coupon code community. I didn't do that on purpose, so I hope people didn't hang up. But anyway, community is the coupon code. And any feedback or anything, further questions, just send me an email. You can find me through the website. Take care.
Thank you.